B-Pod Studios.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
It's gotta be the closest thing to Woodstock.
In the middle of the day.
It's like an acidic trip.
There's always a little bit of heaven in a disaster area.
Zolak and Bertram, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hunter Renfroe is the one everyone's talking about at Fenway because he let a ball go off his chest over the wall. And I know there are baseball fans going, wait a minute. How is it the Rays did not get a run there? We're here in our outfield, Studio 42, where we can demonstrate. Harold, would you like to walk?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
It's gotta be the closest thing to Woodstock.
In the middle of the day.
It's like an acidic trip.
There's always a little bit of heaven in a disaster area.
Zolak and Bertram, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hunter Renfroe is the one everyone's talking about at Fenway because he let a ball go off his chest over the wall. And I know there are baseball fans going, wait a minute. How is it the Rays did not get a run there? We're here in our outfield, Studio 42, where we can demonstrate. Harold, would you like to walk us through how you saw this play?
Well, it's a ground rule double. Plain and simple. Knew it from the jump street because it's an unintentional touch from the outfielder. If it was intentional, a little bit different. But for now, let me show you what happens. All right? So the ball is coming off the wall. The wall, you got to consider, is like the ground. It's the same thing. This ball hits the wall, it's like hitting the ground. All right? If the ball hit the ground, hit off him, and went in the outfield, that's what's going to happen. So it comes back. He unintentionally is here. I can't do it that well. But let's say this ball bounces off me and goes in. There's nothing I can do about it. It's a ground rule double. If I went like this, give me a ball real quick, Hunter. If that ball came off the wall and I said, no play for me, oh, whoops, then it becomes judgment of the umpires. That's an intentional thing, and they would award that guy in home plate, no doubt about it.
Coverage on MLB Network last night, immediately following their game broadcast. Smoltz was good. Harold Reynolds, good. Former players that they've got, good. Everyone else blows. That's my review of them last night. And by the way, I did not have any problems with these commercials that were apparently running right through the middle of the game.
I saw everybody complaining about these.
Who had those problems? Was it a particular carrier? I saw one tweet that blamed it on Fios that said they were having issues when they were running the commercials. But
it wasn't just on the broadcast? It was like a split screen, right?
No. They said
they were going away from the broadcast.
In the middle of an at-bat. A commercial would just start and you'd lose the feed of the game. I did not have any of those issues. So I know some people did. I saw one of our former colleagues who was tweeting about it having those constant issues and said, I swear to God, if I miss the winning play of this game due to this commercial issue, I'm going to flip out. So apparently some people had some issues. Some people don't get MLB Network. I know they're offering a free preview for the week so that everyone could get it. But it's not exactly easy to find unless you watch it every now and again.
One of those pesky 900s.
Yeah, pesky 900s. So is FS1. That's where you can find the game tonight, by the way. Back to FS1. The always buried and never appreciated and never watched FS1. Do you ever watch FS1 for anything?
No. Sometimes there'll be an ultimate game on FS1
exactly.
That I'll watch. I'm not even kidding.
Okay. Do you ever just turn it on, though, and
no,
be like, oh,
no,
what's on
no.
FS1?
Do you know what I have to do?
Like, ESPN has that huge advantage when it comes to sports networks. I would say more people would switch to a local channel, Nesson or us, on NBC Sports Boston before they ever go.
Once they get rid of the Regis show.
The problem with those two channels, MLB Network and FS1, yeah, I have the voice remote, the Xfinity voice remote.
You have to ask for it?
I have to ask for it, FS1. And then it goes to it. I have no clue what channel they are.
But that was Harold Reynolds with a ball, even put a hat on. Hat, ball, glove. And they have a full outfield wall there that he was trying to bounce it over with his chest. He couldn't do it, but he tried. he tried, and he did a good job explaining it right away as soon as the game ended. He also made a good point later on in that broadcast where he told the guys in the city, he said, listen, guys, you know, I have to tell you something. He said, players a lot of times don't know the rules. He said, they just don't know the rules. They just don't focus on the small, exact, you know, volume of rules that this sport has. Sometimes they just don't know what the hell the rule is. And I thought that was interesting, too, as a former player and a guy who's been around a lot of players over the years. He said, sometimes players just don't have a bleeping clue what the rule is. And so he was wondering if when Renfro reached the glove over and realized the ball had made it over the wall, was there any thought in his mind as he tried to, again, get the ball sticking his glove out over the wall? At any point while he was doing that, did he start to pull back, realizing it was going to be better? He said, was there any split-second decision? He goes, none of this was intentional. The guy did not intentionally knock the ball over the wall. Everyone knows that. He said, but at some point, when he had that glove outstretched over the wall, did he think, you know what? I've got no play here. I'm going to just bring that glove back a little bit. I didn't see it that way, but I thought it was interesting that he brought it up. That at that point, maybe a player knew, but that a lot of times players don't know the rules. That was a bit of a odd thing that we saw happen last night, but the umpires called it correctly. Red Sox get a win. I would also point out to the Tampa Bay crybabies on this one that Christian Vasquez hit a two-run home run. And so if the rest of that inning after the Rays had scored a run went the way that it went, and then it continued to go the way it went for the Red Sox, they still would have won by a run.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
And hard to bitch when you play in a stadium that has three different catwalks that needs to be talked about.
Oh, right?
I mean,
nothing says October like hitting it off the C-ring. I mean, yeah. What are we talking about? An embarrassment to the game. By the way, this is off topic, but related to the Rays. Did you see that their president was saying last week that there is going to be a split between Montreal and Tampa Bay? This has been floated before.
Split season.
I don't buy it. I think he's full of crap. I think he's leveraging Tampa. Because that is so wildly unfair to the players on that roster.
It sure is.
To live in two places on their home portion of the schedule.
How do you live life like that? This is what we talked about when they floated this idea out there the first time. How does it make sense financially for all the people who work for the team? You got to have two houses. You got to have two.
At least players are making $7 million. Like the everyday people who live check to check. You're now going to be bouncing country to country.
How's that work?
Good luck.
Does your front office have to move to Montreal when the team is there?
I would think so.
Everyday standard operations.
Probably not.
You got to have people on site.
You got to have people there.
Yeah, you do. I mean, you'd have to be moving a lot of things, but I don't know that. I think the biggest issue would be your players not agreeing to this, and the MLBPA saying, what are you, nuts? These guys have it hard enough spending half of their season on the road. And now when they do have time to be playing at home and seeing their families or, you know, having some sort of, even if they don't have a family that they're coming back to, having some sort of steady life where there is a home base, so to speak, now they don't even get that. They have to basically live on the road from the start of spring training in, you know, end of February until October every year. They're not going to go for that. No way.
Yeah.
And they'll say, oh, we'll give them housing. We'll pay for their housing. I don't think that solves the issue. And it's also stupid. Get a stadium built or move. Okay?
These guys are
your options.
A lot of these guys are already living in two places. They've got their place that they live when the season's not being played, and then they've got a place where they live where the team is. Now you want to add a third?
No.
I wouldn't want to do that.
They should not agree to that. Nope, don't agree to it. Eric in the car, what do you got?
Hi, guys. Great stat for you, why the Sox are going to win again tonight. Never in Red Sox history have they ever lost a playoff game on Marathon Monday. Never happened. Sox.
Okay.
Oh, I feel so much better now. What if they wear the shirts?
Are they going to wear the yellow tonight?
No, you won
they
two, in a, you won two in a row with red.
Thumbs up. Yellow tonight, says Millick.
It's not fully confirmed, but Cora said you'll watch for today. So something's going on one way or the other.
I told you what to wear.
The red. Wear the red.
Wear the white with the Boston across the chest. That's the best one to wear.
I said, hey, it's marathon. I got hands off for me today.
Is anyone in the bullpen unavailable? Millick, listening to us?
He's doing his job.
They should just mix in a little bit of yellow with the red and white, and then they can go serve some McDLTs when they're done.
Oh, my God.
I was going to say, based on my calculations, Milliken, there is no one unavailable in the bullpen tonight outside of Pivetta. Is there anyone who needs any more rest that is not going to be available for this game? Even Chris Sale is available. Not anymore, because they could have used him last night, but he's going to have to pitch again. There's no one unavailable in the bullpen outside of Pivetta.
Shouldn't be, considering you had a day off, day before yesterday.
Such a monster game for Pivetta to go 13 innings last night and not eat up the bullpen along the way. Mm. And that's why, quick hook for E-Rod, Hauk is next up, and you've got a healthy bullpen ready to go. All right, I like their chances. Nick in the car. Hey, Nick.
What's up, fellas? I agree. E-Rod, as little as possible. In fact, I think you just get him your three-batter minimum. I don't care if he gets three outs. If he gets one out, no outs, I don't care. Get him out after his three-batter minimum and start going with the bullpen. I can't believe I'm saying this, but if it means bringing in Richards, bring in Richards, because E-Rod is not ready for this moment. And also, I was kind of disappointed that Cora decided to take out Schwarber and insert Dalbec. I really don't want to see that again. I mean, Schwarber has the playoff pedigree. He's been ripping the ball. I can't believe that happened. I hope that he's not planning on doing that again. Milliken, was that the right play, you think?
Milliken's
good. Yeah.
Yeah, let me move my hands.
Milliken's tied up back there. By the way, Garrett Richards is no longer on the roster. That's how Matt Barnes got onto the roster. So you don't have to worry about that. But why would you do that? Listen, this is the thing that I think people are forgetting. E-Rod sucked as bad as he could be. He was horrible at the start of the series. He can still pitch. He's still capable of pitching. In fact, now he's had all kinds of rest because he sucked so bad and got the hook so early in that start. So I'm not going to pull him after a three-batter minimum to start the game. That would be stupid. If he goes on, he looks good. Let him look good through the lineup a couple of times. Get the lead, jump out to the lead, and go to that well-rested, very available bullpen. Sounds of Sunday coming up at 12:50. We'll get back to your Patriots calls next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's the 125th running of the Boston Marathon, and nobody's got you covered like these two. Solak and Bertrand's coverage of the Boston Marathon is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, superior light beer on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It felt really good. I think the offensive line did a great job, and I think it all starts with them, so they were doubted all week, and there's this and that and all the noise around that, and they came out and they played really hard and they played together, and I think I only got hit one time the whole game, so.
Patriots were missing 4/5 of the offensive line going into yesterday's game. But out of all their issues yesterday, I didn't notice that as being one of them. The makeshift crew put the thing together yesterday.
They look good. They looked really good.
Keeping together for next week at this point.
Dude, even on the pulling, like Ferentz and Haran on the pulls, like outside runs, like they're out front hitting guys and like, okay, wow. Like Mac Jones had clean pockets. He set his feet, looked right, looked left, came back. Get hit four times in this game. That's it.
Four is better than eight.
Four is better than five.
Yeah.
Four is better than 12.
They gave up one sack. Not terrible. I don't think that was one of their issues yesterday. Yeah. Crazy. Honestly, at this point, you can have the job.
Yeah.
You can stay in there until you suck. But that was not an issue yesterday.
Nope.
Let's go to your phone, 617-779-0985. We'll go to Ken in the truck. Hey, Ken.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
All right, my take I wanted to talk about was N'Keal Harry. What is his role on this offense? Like, I get it's only his second game back from injury, but they got to get him more involved and get him the ball more. I know you got other options, but so I wanted your take on this. What is N'Keal's role on this team right now?
Fifth receiver, decoy, and I don't know what. See, that's not even fair. To be a decoy, you have to do something to draw interest away from people. He doesn't do that. He's a blocking wide receiver. Blocking wide receiver. Like, they tried to run one of those routes where he went downfield, in, and at the last minute, you're supposed to spin out, then come back to the sideline. He can't get out of breaks. He fell down. That's another one where it almost got picked off. It's... Again, I watch a pregame. He's the most physically gifted guy out there. Looks the part. Looks intimidating. But doesn't play that way. Like, what are you going to throw a slip screen to him? And like, another thing. These guys aren't slip screen runners. That's Amendola and Edelman. None of these guys can run that slip screen very well. But N'Keal, you need numbers right now. That's part of the problem.
Hey, Hardy. Hardy.
Yeah?
We got a call on the line from Italy.
Italians.
Okay.
We were just talking about Italy a moment ago.
Oh,
at the break.
That's right.
Talking about Maz maybe opening an import-export business. Huh. Importing goods from Italy and opening up a shop next to the midday market.
Or just giving him a corner of the midday market. For
Dude, are the sizes the same?
What's that?
Sizes are different. Like an XL isn't an XL. You got to get those sizes down.
Well, no clothing.
Yeah, they size it like 48, 50, you know, like the numbers.
No, I think he was thinking about bringing in more perishable, edible products.
Oh, right. Toblerone and that stuff.
Yes, exactly.
Tyler in Italy. Tyler.
Hey, Bert. Zone, how's it going, guys?
Hey, how's Italy?
We got a bad connection here to Italy. Speak up.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Can you hear me? Hey, so I just want to say, long-time listener, one of the few times I've actually called in, but this defense is atrocious. Patricia's hands all over it. You can tell there's no drive. There's no way to force turnovers. There's no emphasis on big plays. And this team doesn't want to hit, wrap up, and tackle. It's disgusting to watch. That.
I love that accent.
It really is beautiful.
Forget about it.
I'm calling from the deathbed of my mother. My mother is slipping away.
Johnny. Did I tell you?
How connection was not the best. That's a transatlantic call.
How was
that
the flight?
We just conducted.
I tell you, forget about it. Forget about it. Do you see? They're going to get some guys in there, some tough guys. And smack them upside the head. Okay? And win the game, we eat some pizza. Hey, Ma, you cook for them all.
You would think that caller would have known how to hold it like a pizza.
Yeah.
But he didn't.
He had the ketchup bottle, and we roll the ketchup bottle like this. Get it out.
Like a pizza.
Why do you need ketchup on Italian?
Not a pizza.
Well, why does there always ketchup bottles on the table in Italian
movies? Okay, first of all, you're talking about Jimmy and Goodfellas, and he was Irish. So he was using
couldn't
the ketchup.
Couldn't be made.
But she made a steak. She did the meatballs.
Well, I can't sleep when he's home. I don't hardly ever get to see him. No, sit down.
Hey, Mark, can we buy this?
Yeah, you got to bring it back.
Yeah. Hey, it looks like your friend, that painting. Look, one last, we got to look one way, one the other.
Wait a minute. This is the only Italian song you can come up with.
It's pretty good.
I come up with like Frank, some deep Frank.
No,
Frank
I think
track.
That I think T-Bone chose
Yo
well.
Oh, solo mio.
Oh,
good one. Oh, solo mio.
Oh, solo mio.
Oh, solo mio.
That's nice.
It is.
Glad we did this.
That's big. Yep. Never mind.
Tim is in Blackstone. Hi, Tim.
So I got a question. Have you ever seen a defense with lack of adjustments at the cornerback position that can just get a slant hit on them at any given time, third and long? And the second part, if you're Gerard Mayo and the defense looks like this and you're dead serious about getting a head coaching job, At what point do you think about separating yourself from the Patriots and Steven and prove what you can do on your own? Because I think if he's looking for a head coaching job, it probably isn't the most ideal spot for him to show what he can do with that, you know, hovering over in the background. Like to see what you guys think.
It's funny you bring that up, because I think it was Pro Football Talk yesterday. You had the report that Steve Belichick could be the one getting head football coach job offers.
When?
Yesterday during the game.
No. When is he going to get the offers? Know.
But I was screaming for those slants on both sides. Yeah.
Corners off. There's that big cavern in the middle. You're playing your butts outside towards the boundary. You're giving up all that space inside. Throw it. He threw it. Davis Mills threw it three times to the back Johnson. They couldn't cover that guy. Yeah, it was there. Totally there. Good point. Good call. Good memory.
No. Steve Belichick, they tweeted about it. Is that what happened?
Yes, there's this tweet going around during the game.
Belichick's goofy facial expressions from last week have made him a magnet for TV cameras, which will, right or wrong, boost him onto the list of 2022 head coaching candidates. The last name doesn't hurt either. First of all, I don't think there's going to be a ton of openings in the league. We've looked at the list. We've looked at the teams.
Jacksonville.
That could definitely be one of them, but I don't think there's going to be 6, 7, 8 jobs open.
Some people had Josh tied to that. Like, that's the one Josh would
to Jacksonville?
Go to. Yeah.
Well, Urban's not long for the job.
No.
Steve Belichick. I don't know. That's not a story. That's not a post. That's just a...
It's written by Pro Football.
Florio. It's just he's going to get a lot of media attention, and therefore his name will get floated for things as people become more aware of him. Al is in the car. Oh, phone's froze.
Mm.
Al, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Love your show. I get two questions. First question is on defense. The defense, the first half of yesterday's game, played like dog meat. Yet the second half, they played better. So what schematically did they do in the second half where the defense played better? That's question one. Question two, offensively, do you think the starting lineup from yesterday's game will start the next game against Dallas?
We're talking about up front on the line?
Yes.
No.
Probably not.
No, I think when those guys are back, they start.
It's wishful thinking.
Yeah.
Just based on the fact that they played okay yesterday.
Played fine yesterday.
No, but when they're back, they'll start, and it gives you confidence in these other guys that if they're not doing well, then get their ass out of there and get someone else in.
All right, on either side of the ball, what do you look at yesterday and say they changed this in the second half? What were the big halftime adjustments in that game?
Patriots went back to running the ball. Thought they ran the ball effectively in the second half. And defensively made some plays in the game. You got them to move backwards. They started taking penalties. You push the edge. Judon, you know. Judon, again, might not end up in numbers, but his ability to get there and drawing flags and, you know, the coverage was there at times. It was better in the second half. First half was a dog. You're better defensively in the second half. You know, since that stupid flea flicker, you shut him out. Get burned on a flea flicker. Joan Williams is a problem. I know that. I knew that throughout the course of four quarters. Yeah, Joan Williams is a problem. The week you let Steph go and Jalen Mills was rolled out. It's a tough one.
Brandon in Boston. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my phone call. So I don't know how anybody could feel good about that Patriots win. You know, Davis Mills was out there serving the Patriots that good old Texas barbecue. You know, and listen, the Texans, 3 of 3 on fourth down, and they got cocky. They got real cocky doing trick plays, flea flickers. Then they did a fake punt, which ended up, you know, hitting off one of their teammates' head. But they were so cocky and confident that they was doing anything on you. And if it wasn't for their punter missing those field goals, they would have won that game. So, you know, I guess, you know, their competitive edge gave up a little bit because they were sucking so bad. So you easily creep back in that game. But other than that, if he nails those field goals, you lose that game.
It's not cockiness that forces a team like the Texans or the Patriots, for that matter, into trying trick plays. It's because the normal stuff doesn't work well enough. So you need things like that in order to move the ball and to make some plays. That's not cockiness.
It's desperation.
Well, it's...
I think it is for a team like the Texans, where they are and where they're going.
Okay.
They say the hell with it. You know, we've got a well-coached team on the other side and a team that's coming off a big game against Tampa Bay. These guys look like they might be able to really play. Let's build some things in this week. And let's give ourselves a chance. And to their credit, it worked.
Let me tell you why I feel good about that win yesterday. A, you don't have the luxury of feeling good or bad about wins anymore. You can only feel good with where this team is at right now. Second of all, you know how we were talking about going into the Saints game? I'm like, yeah, 1-2, 2-1, doesn't really matter. Like 1-3, 2-2. To me, this made a big difference. If you were to come out of yesterday's game at 1-4, you feel totally different about the rest of this season and what their chances are. 2-3 to me is remarkably different from 1-4. And I didn't feel that way 4 games into the season, but 5 games in, having a 2-3 record, you can feel good about that. You can feel that there is some hope for this season. At 1-4, it's hard to have that hope.
617-779-0985. Sounds of Sunday at 12:50. Hardy has your headlines right now.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You're listening to Solak and Bertrand's coverage of the 125th Boston Marathon, brought to you by Michelob Ultra, superior light beer on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sounds of Sunday coming up, 12:50. 617-779-0985. Hardy can tell you I'm wildly distracted today. Wildly distracted.
Why?
My tooth.
Oh.
Distracted.
One little longer than the other?
Yeah, it feels that way.
You gotta grind that thing down.
Just went from the temporary crown to the permanent one today. Mm-hmm. We're 2 hours and 40 minutes in here today. I can't stop biting and not feeling right.
Mm. Why don't you get some peanut brittle? Just really grind that thing down.
That sounds like a terrible
idea. Just chew on some sand.
That sounds like a fast way to rip it right out of my mouth.
Okay, then chew on some sand.
Hardy says I'll be fine in 2 days. Yeah. He says 2 days from now it'll feel normal. Mm-hmm. It's just the newness of it.
It is. You never think about it. You never think about it up until now. There's a chance there's something wrong in there that the bite is off, but did they check it while you're in there?
Yes.
Did they grind it down a little bit?
Yeah.
They take the crown and like...
No, actually, there was no grinding needed after they stuck the paper in there and you did the grind all around.
Oh.
What's that paper do?
There was no adjustment after the paper.
Nah, you'll be fine.
I got to go back, though. Now that the anesthesia wore off, now I can feel my face again.
Yeah. They put anesthesia in it to get the cap on?
Yeah.
Wow.
You got shot up to put the crown on?
Well, I had to rip the old one off. So? And do the scraping down of all the old cement.
Huh.
Yeah.
I can't remember if I had...
It's just a cap. I didn't have a root canal. The tooth is still alive and well.
I understand. Are you all right?
Oh, I can just feel it.
The smell.
Oh, that smell. That's like burning.
The bone powder.
Burnt bone.
Bone powder.
I'd like to go to Bath and Body Works, and could I have the smell of burnt bone candle?
That'd be disgusting.
Chuck in Boston. What's up, Chuck?
Hey. Love the show. First time caller.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hey, I got a take on the fact that I haven't heard you guys really talk about. This team is a 2-3 football team. If not for two plays, they're a 4-1 team with a rookie quarterback. Mm-hmm. Think about that call. The fumble in the Miami game and the clink off the goalpost in the Tampa game.
Yeah. I would say they are a 1-4 team if it weren't for three plays. I mean, we can do this all day.
No, we sure could.
That's how football goes.
Yeah, take back the two picks that Zach Wilson threw directly to guys in your secondary. How's that Jets game work out?
Not so hot.
Okay, there's one. You pick out a play yesterday, it might have turned things around a little bit.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, I'm not going to do that.
Football is a game that has a lot of tight games. And typically, over the course of a season, the better teams win those close games.
Yeah, roll Damian. I mean, please. Damian Harris's touchdown to touchdown. See how that
game Let's say they were. Let's say that those plays had gone. Let's say that Nick Folk boots that ball through from 56 yards out in the rain. Okay? Let's say they win the game against Miami. How much better do you feel about the team?
At 4-1?
Oh.
We'd be talking about this team being gutty and finding ways to win. We'd feel a lot better about them, though. We'd feel that they were finding ways to win.
It'd be a fraud 4-1.
Yeah.
It's what it would be.
4-1.
Okay, as fraudulent as it would be, we would still be talking and feeling differently about them. We
might be that miserable 8-0?
And those were different times.
They had Brady then.
Yeah, Brady.
Different
thing. Don't necessarily want to think about that, but.
Jeff in Nashua. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on? Happy Monday. The Pats yesterday, they were dominated by a terrible football team that, by the way, lost 40-0 last week. And I think you should all hope that Stevie B gets pawned off onto somebody else. I mean, who in that building could possibly respect him? The nepotism, the mullet, and now the lip licking, those are certainly attributes I'd look for in a head coach. Now, the Sox last night, great game. The only thing that could have made it better was to put a runner on second to start extras.
Yeah, why not? Why do we do that? Why do we do that all year and we don't do it in the playoffs?
No.
That's so stupid.
No.
Why?
Because this game is more important than one of the 162.
Oh.
And last night, when it's a good, compelling playoff game, no one needs the thing to be over. Okay? We don't need to move on with our lives just yet. Everyone's savoring every last minute of baseball on a night like last night. But on July 10th, on a Tuesday night, I don't need this to go 13, 14 innings. I don't need that. No one does. Get it wrapped up. Get moving. I don't mind that. I actually think they got that right. Regular season, runner on second. Postseason, no runners.
I like the pressure of it. Put them right there. No outs.
No.
Down second.
No.
Oh, I'm going to crap myself.
Now, you want to talk about switching up NHL overtime in the postseason? Maybe getting away from 5-on-5? That's a conversation I'd be willing to
Bingo,
have.
Bingo, as I've told you, too much hockey. Too much hockey.
We know.
It's too much on the players.
Yes.
I think.
It can ruin you for multiple games thereafter.
Years.
You play one of those marathon games in the NHL.
Your body will never be the same.
That are so celebrated in the spring when the NHL playoffs roll around. What's the level of play in the next game following that? When you play six periods of hockey in a triple overtime. You ever thought of that, T-Bone?
No.
Too much hockey. Too many minutes.
Oof. Hey, real quick here. Jeff Howell's got some numbers on Davis Mills and Tom Brady combined going at J.C. Jackson.
Why don't you save that for 1 o'clock, so?
All right, let's do that.
Coming up next, the Sounds of Sunday.
Ooh!
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
So,
not a dummy.
Beetle. Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's got to be one of the dumbest calls.
98.5, the Sports Hub presents.
It's so in Beetle, sounds of Sunday. There's never any need to frown. We love it and we know you love it too.
Have we played this a second time round?
I don't think so. I went back and
this
found
this is
one.
A deep track.
Yeah,
on
we
Sounds
forgot about
Sunday.
That one.
A lot of good ones. I've done a lot over the years.
Mm.
All right, you ready, boys?
Yeah. Yes.
Into pocket. The pocket we go for Sounds of Sunday, brought to you by Dr. Matthew Lopresti and Leonard Hair Transplant Associates, the hair doctor of me, Hardy. 1-800-GET-HAIR, free consultations at all five New England locations. We begin with a take from analyst Jimmy Johnson about Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert during Fox pregame.
Game should be a high-scoring game. You know, the Chargers, they've got a star at quarterback, Justin Herbert. You know, 6 touchdown passes in the red zone the last couple of weeks. And in fact, if I was drafting in the NFL today, of all the players, my number one pick would be Justin Herbert. He's that big a star.
Over Mahomes?
Over Mahomes.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
How do you feel about that, Zoe?
It's a reach. It's a reach. What kind of offense you want to run, though?
He really likes Justin Herbert.
I feel like it's the headphones. I feel like it's currently a reach. In the here and now, today, 2021. 3 or 4 years from now, I would not be surprised if you look at it and say, Mahomes and Herbert are the quarterbacks of this generation that lead the pack.
Chiefs are 2-3 right
and
now.
So,
they're in your neck of the woods, and he's not playing that great.
Yeah, he's having a bad year. He's thrown, what, 6 picks already?
Yeah.
He's thrown as many picks this year as he did all of last season.
It's
That's
gonna
Patrick
be,
Mahomes.
It's going to be interesting when they continue to dismantle things around him when contracts come up, like when Tyreek Hill gets slow and he has to, you know, take a contract cut, or he's going to be flat-out cut.
You know, I
like,
think
that's the thing.
I think the question with Herbert is how much better can he get? And if he does get a lot better from where he already is, that guy could be the best quarterback in the league,
yep,
potentially. But right now, here and today, I think I'd take Mahomes just because there's so much more known about him.
It's just the playmaking ability is just so off the charts with Mahomes, even if he is having a bad stretch here. All right. Giants, Cowboys on Fox.
Huh.
Here's what it sounds like when a game is still
How many ambulances?
This is what it sounds like when a game is still in commercial, but a touchdown happens in the actual game.
Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep, only from Sleep Number.
Hi, welcome to Sonic. May I take your order?
2 Sonic grilled cheese dogs.
While we were in break, the Giants ran a play with Glennon under center, handed to Booker, who just went over the top and scored a touchdown.
Whoops. How does that happen?
It's like MLB last night, right? Was that going on at MLB Network? Like the back and forth, getting out of breaks, commercials early?
Oh, man.
Must have been on your provider, whichever provider.
It was. Tying touchdown, by the way.
We've narrowed it down. It feels like all the complaints have come from Verizon customers.
Yeah.
Moving on to the Lions-Vikings. We already heard from Dan Campbell post-game, but this is how the game ended on the Greg Joseph field goal to win it for Minnesota. We'll start with the Minnesota call.
54-yard try left hash. Snap. Spot. Joseph. Excellent leg. Get up there! And yes! It is good! And the Minnesota Vikings have defeated the Detroit Lions 19-17.
It's a good call.
Paul Allen's
a good call.
Always
Paul
good.
Allen.
Always exciting. It's exciting.
And now for the Lions call of the same play.
Oh, boy.
When you...
Hey, that's not it.
Cry, baby.
When you see your players give all that they have and you lose that way, it's tough.
It's tough.
That's
you know,
not
you don't
good.
Want that for them. So...
Okay, T-Bone. Very, very funny.
There's the snap, spot down, kick on the way. It is up, and it is good. And once again, the Lions will walk off the field heartbroken. Once again, the Lions will walk off the field with a long field goal, dealing them a defeat. 66 yards by Justin Tucker. 54 yards right there by Greg Joseph. The result is the same regardless of the distance. The Lions come up short.
They're not losing by chip shots.
It's never boring, huh?
No.
Never boring.
They covered. They
it's
covered.
Printed t-shirts. Exciting football.
How'd the card do, everyone?
How'd the card do?
Winner, winner. Except for Zoe pushing.
Well,
bringing our payment
not
down.
A loss.
That's all right.
Not a loss.
Has it paid for all of our wagers so far this year?
Yes.
And then some.
Yes.
I get my money back.
We got to talk about the wild ending for the Packers and the Bengals. So first, this is the Packers radio of the Bengals miss in the fourth.
Here it is. High snap. Placement made. Kick up to the uprights. And it is off the low upright. It climbs away. Yeah. It is no good. No good. He hit the right upright. And this game is tied at 22 with 21 seconds to go. And the Packers get it out beyond the Green Bay 45. It's not over yet.
What?
Turnabout fair play. We're going to go to the Bengals radio call of the Packers miss at the buzzer.
Officially a 51-yard try from the left hash for veteran Mason Crosby. 3 seconds on the clock. The snap, the kick. It has the distance. It is no good.
No!
He missed it wide left. After making 27 in a row, Crosby has a streak going in the other direction. He's missed two straight, and this game will go to overtime.
Too bad.
Is there a record being set for missed kicks in this league over the weekend?
God. Yeah, 12 PAT field goals.
Bengals radio call, another Crosby miss.
This will be a 40-yard try to end it in overtime with 8:13 on the clock. Here we go. The snap, the kick. It's on its way. It is
good. Oh, my gosh.
I don't believe what I have just seen. Mason Crosby can't believe it either. He misses three straight after making 27 in a row. Total disbelief from fans rooting for either team here at Paul Brown Stadium.
That is 10 points that Crosby has spit up.
Got a Packers call the same of the same play.
Cortez down on one knee.
Cortez.
Arm extended. Bradley's snap. Here it is. Placement is up. And it is no good. He missed it to the left.
You have to be kidding. You have to be kidding.
Oh, my goodness.
Unbelievable.
A nightmarish day for Mason Crosby, reminiscent of the day he missed five kicks in Detroit back in 2018.
The game finally did end, though. Would you like to hear the final call?
Is
of
it
the
good?
Game?
Yeah, I'd want to hear it.
Mason Crosby for the win. Snap and placement. Here's the kick. It is up. It is good. Mason Crosby got it done. Fourth time a charm for Mason Crosby, and the Packers win it in overtime, 25-22. You talk about mental tenacity. You talk about stones. Mason Crosby, on one of the worst days of his career, gets another chance for the fourth time to win this game, and on the fourth time, he gets it done.
He was a puddle all day. What are we talking about?
Stones, though.
On one of the worst days of his life,
he had the audacity to try and turn it around.
What? Packers get the win 25-22.
Yes, there they do.
That is cha-ching. It for Sounds of Sunday, gentlemen.
I thought we might have something in there from Saturday. No, T-Bone?
No Sounds of
nothing
Saturday.
Nothing left over from Saturday? From the big game in Amherst?
Oh, that was a bowl game, right?
Cum Bowl. Nothing from that one?
What's the score of the Cum Bowl?
You should keep saying it, though.
No.
Headlines. We're right back with the fourth and final hour. UMass wins. UMass wins.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.